my mom and my dad were married in the 60 or the very end of 61. 1960, right at the turn of a decade, my mom and my dad were united in marriage, and they began their life together early in the 1960s. Early in the 1960s, my family, my mom and my dad, become a couple, a Mr. and Mrs. Toward the two-thirds of the way, toward the end of 1962, they added a son to the mix, and that was my brother. My older brother, Jay, was born in 1962. He was the first of the tribe to be added to the tribe, and then 3 years later, two years and 8 months later, I was added in 1965. In January of 1965, I was added to the mix. And now we have a four-member family. Our family wasn't always easy to navigate, much like families of today, but we navigated. I know that my brother, at a young age, locked himself in the bathroom. My mom was frantic as a new mother. He couldn't unlock the door. She couldn't get the door open. So my mom went all ninja and kicked the door open, but my brother didn't get back from the door, and the doorknob caught him in the forehead. So the first trip to the hospital, other than birth, was to get some sutures in my brother's forehead from my mom going all ninja on the bathroom door. By 1969, we'd added a daughter to the mix. My oldest, a bit younger than me, but the older of the two daughters, was born in 1969. That was my sister, my sister that's closest to me in age. Annette is her name. And her and I became pretty good friends throughout. My brother was older than me. Him and I became pretty good friends and remain that today, but it wasn't always that way. Sometimes it's very challenging to be friends with your siblings. And then in 1972, a second daughter was added to the mix. My youngest sister was born in 1972. And her name is Julie. So we have six people in the family. We lived in a variety of different dwellings. We lived in a house that burned down in 1975. We lived in some house trailers. We lived in some really cool places, and we lived in some places that weren't so cool. We lived in some places that were very cool, very cold, because one of the house trailers that we lived in, my covers on my bed froze to the wall during the night. And so it was very chilly in there. Maybe that's why we were healthy, because even bacteria couldn't live where we were living. But we navigated life as a family for many, many years. We navigated. Obviously, we're still navigating life. My mom passed away 9 years ago, January, so she has gone from the family, but we navigated our family together. Not always easy to navigate as a family. Our family wasn't without its trials and its tribulations. Our family had good times, and our family had rough times. And last week, I started a journey on talking about the family and talking about the I wills of what I'm going to do. I will. I'm confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And this week, I've been on I will meditate on the wonders of God, on the works of God, not just on God, but on His works as well. And not just on His works, but on God as well. I want to make those statements, and not only make those statements, but I want to live out those statements. And I want to be confident. I want my family to be confident, and that they will praise God. They will honor God. They will see God work. You will see God work. I am confident in this. Psalm 27, verse 13, I am confident in this. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And maybe you haven't seen goodness. Maybe you've been through the trials of life. But I'm on this journey to help build the family. And the more I see our society and what I see in the family, I want to really continue to help build the family. Our family wasn't perfect by far. But our family, since the 1920s, they gave them the family scenario that I lived in, the nuclear family. And I found that interesting. Since the 1920s, that family was considered the nuclear family. A nuclear family refers to the core members of the family, usually the parents and their children. We have the nuclear family, the nuclear, the nucleus meaning kernel, or more simply, something essential. That's why it was given the word nuclear, because it's essential. It's the kernel. It's what other things are born out of or have the potential of being born out of, not just procreating and creating people of flesh, but growing your family out of this nuclear family, out of this environment that you can grow a family. It's called the nuclear family. The family is something essential. The Encyclopedia for Child Behavior and Development says this: this particular family unit tends to be patriarchal in structure. Which means patriarchal means of or relating to the patriot or the man or the male, kind of leading the charge. Kind of being the first one. I always say the first ones through the briars. We're willing to step out there. Usually that nuclear family is more patriarchal, or the patriot, where the patriot, the male entity in the family or in the community or in the church are the first ones are willing to go and to chop down some weeds for their family to follow them. Is it the only time that the weeds get chopped down? No, but the nuclear family looks at the patriarchal system. In 2019, there was 128.58 million households in the United States. Hang with me here. I'm going to make a point this morning. 128.5 million households in the United States. 22% of those households, 22% of those households are the nuclear family. That means that 78% of those households are not nuclear family. So our families can go, many different things can describe our families. But the nuclear family is that family where the mom and the dad and the kids live, and dad's playing his position and mom's playing her position. Inside of those 128 million households represents 74 million children. There are 74 million children in the United States of America. 74 million. 22% of the households, 28 million households, are the nuclear family. The nuclear family household is not the majority. But we look at the statistic, 65% of those 74 million children, 65% or 48 million of those 74 million children live in a nuclear family. That's down from 50 years ago when 88% of the children in the United States lived in a nuclear family. Now it's 65% live in a nuclear family. 65% of 74 million children. And then there's other situations. There's 23% of those children, or 17 million of those children, live in single mom homes. 17 million of the 74 million children in this country live with a single mom. And 4% live with a single dad. There are 3 million children in this world that live only with their dad. There are many different households. The remaining of the 8% live with the grandparents or have no permanent home or in a very unique situation. New Life has children in every one of these categories. New Life has children in the nuclear category, in the nuclear family category, the single mom category, the single dad category, the grandparent parent category. So thank you for those who continue to raise your family. Thank you for those, and I want to speak out for the family today. I know the situations that we are facing this morning. I know that research shows that the nuclear family, when the dad is involved, I know that the research shows that they have a more of a potential of growing healthier children when the dad is involved. Now, I don't have a lot of statistics on what if mom's not involved, because most moms aren't deadbeat moms. But I know statistics that a fatherless home, the statistic, those children are more likely to be poor or more likely to be involved in drugs and alcohol or more likely to drop out of school or more likely to suffer from health and emotional problems. Boys are more likely to become involved in crime, and girls are more likely to become pregnant. And then in today's world, we have this movement that's going across our nation. This movement that's going across our nation that's trying to alter the fabric of this nation. And they're bringing destruction to all kinds of things in this nation. They're bringing physical destruction to this world. And we can see them, and they get a lot of news time. And that movement, in their mission statement, that movement says this: we work to dismantle the patriarchal family. Our goal is to dismantle the patriarchal family. Our goal is to, and it continues to say, we will disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family and its requirements. Our goal is to disrupt the nuclear family. Our goal is to destroy the patriarchal system. They're bringing destruction to our nation. And we can see it on the news, but what they want to bring to our nation will tear apart this nation. Not just tear down statues, not just tear down icons of this country. They're working to tear down our families. And I'm going to say today, no way! $74 million children are at stake. And I will not buy into something that wants to dismantle those children's homes, that wants to take their dad out of their lives, that wants to put them in an environment that's detrimental to them or harder to navigate life. Life is hard enough anyway. I feel like the mission statement says, we know you need to run a race. We know you can run better with two legs. Our goal, our mission is to cut off one of your legs. How stupid is that? As a matter of fact, in their 477-word mission statement, they mention children, mothers, and parents, and they never mention fathers. And they use the word men only once in the negative term. This movement is trying to destroy our nation. Some of you have been through rough family times already. Some of you have been in the challenging moments. And I understand that those moments are challenging, and I cannot believe that we have a mission, a movement going through this country that wants to dismantle our children all the more. I can't imagine that there are people that are partnering with them and saying, yes, we want to partner with them, and we want to help them and dismantle our children. For crying out loud, it's tough enough to be a kid already. And now you got the world and a noisy movement moving forward saying, we're going to take your dad out of your house. We're going to dismantle the patriarchal system. We're going to dismantle the nuclear family. Such an ignorant and ludicrous belief. I can understand, and I do understand, that the nuclear family can be the best scenario, but not producing the best product. I do understand that. And I do understand that there are other family scenarios that are represented. Thank you, grandparents, for stepping up and being parents. Thank you, grandparents, for those that have stepped into the limelight of your children's life, of your grandchildren's life. And now you're playing grandfather and grandmother and mom and dad. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for not abandoning your grandchildren. Thank you for fighting for them. Thank you for standing up. Thank you, even in an age when it's rough to get up and your bones don't work as good anymore. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for working in the lives of your grandchildren's family. Thank you, single moms. Thank you, where in the world, dads, where are you? 17 million children need you. And I know there's single dads, and I know there's some here that are highly involved in foster and adoptive, and thank you for those environments. I'm aware that the nuclear family can be the best scenario and not be the best scene. I can aware of that. I'm aware of that. But dismantling the nuclear family, that's the best you can offer. You're a fool. And I do understand all these family environments that they're out there. I don't understand them. I'm not in them. I wasn't raised in them. I was raised in a nuclear family. And at times we got it right, and at times we didn't. And at times my mom got it right, and at times she didn't. And at times my dad got it right, and at times he didn't. But I was raised in a nuclear family. I don't understand what it's like to be raised in a single mom family. But there are the youths out there that are aware of that. I understand what it is to feel like to have a great-grandfather and a great-grandmother involved in my life, but they were never my parents. And because of the gusto and the grit of my wife, I've never been a single dad. So I don't know what it is like to be a single dad. I know there's many family scenarios out there today. And I want to speak. The world is not afraid. And that this movement is unapologetic about giving poor, ignorant, unwise, deadly advice in the family atmosphere and concerning the rearing of children. Shut up! And receiving and applying that advice will definitely run the family, the kids, and our country into the mud. Your family is under public attack, and so is mine. And I'm not here today as a dating service that you're finding single dads' wives. And I'm not here to find single moms' fathers. I'm not here to take every scenario and just wave a wand and fix it all and so everybody has a nuclear family. I am not stupid. But I am here to say today, can you take the family scenario that you're in and can you apply some of God's principles to it? And can you make it a better environment? Can you help your children grow? Can you help your children thrive and be healthy? Can you take the principles of God's word, 31,104 verses in the Bible? And we're going to look at four verses today that I believe will strengthen the family, strengthen any family scenario that's out there. Single moms, hang on. Single dads, hang on. Grandparents, hang on. Nuclear families, hang on, because this world doesn't give a damn about you. And I'm not here to change the family scenario. I'm here to challenge the family scenario to become a better scene. Can your scenario become a better scene? Can the situation you're in become a better scene? Can your family become a better place to raise your children? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, 29, 30, 31, and 32. That's all we're looking at today. But I want to take this along with the I will statements from last week, and I want to take this, and I said, I want this to be applied to the household, the family that you're in. Right now, I don't care about this world. I care about the families that are sitting in the chairs in this parking lot today. I want to speak just to the families, single mom, grandparents, single dad, adopted, foster, nuclear families. I think every environment can get better. And I know some of you have experienced the negativity of a lot of those different environments. I'm sorry for that. And the only way I can undo that in your life is to allow you to know God cares about you. And God's got principles for you to bring health to you. It's not too late for God to do something in your life. I am confident of this. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Ephesians chapter 4. Very practical, I think. Very practical information, very practical guidelines that God says this will make your family better. This will make your family scenario more alive. This will allow your children. Some of you have 2 or 1 or 5 or 6 of the 74 million children that are in this world. And those are the ones I care about right today. Ephesians chapter 4, we're picking it up in the middle of what Paul has referred to as living in the light. Do you want your children to live in the light? So here we pick up at the very end of it. We could spend all day here going through that chapter 4. And if you want to, Tobin is preaching over the Fairview Church of the Brethren today, and he's covering chapter 4 down to all the way down through. So maybe you can jump over there when we're done here, and you can get the first half of the chapter. But I want to pick it up in verse 29. Now this is what I want to happen inside of your family scenario. Here we go. Here's God saying this to you. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. You want some guidelines for your home that's going to create your home to be a better home for your children to be raised in? This is one of them. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Unwholesome talk means corrupt, foul, or abuse. Actually, unwholesome in the Bible means rotten fruit or fish. One of the jobs I've had in the past is driving garbage truck. And there was this one dumpster that we needed to pick up right next to the dock. Right next to the dock down to the Kaunaskie Valley Lake. Right next to where people would come out with their fishing catch, and they would dress out their fish and they would dump the rest of the fish in the dumpster. Well, I'm telling you, from one week to another, in weather like this, that fish was cooking inside of that dumpster. And when you would hook to that dumpster and take the cable over to dump the dumpster, you would dump about a half a dumpster of fish parts that had been sitting in an environment, in a metal box, in for a week or in 90-degree weather. And in the Bible is saying, just like that smell, and some of you already know what that is, it's not a pleasant, just like that smell is the unwholesome talk that comes out of you. You're stinking up your house with your talk. You're abusive with your talk. You're belittling with your talk. And if we want to raise healthy children, we got to put a curb on the talk inside of our house. Stop worrying about the world this morning. Start worrying about your family this morning. And the Bible says if you want to grow a rich family, watch the talk that's going on inside your home. This stinking talk, the world talk that adds stink to the environment, words that cut down, tear down, and hurt, words to people that are spoken in your home. Also, listen, New Lifers, also words that you bring in and you talk about other people outside the home. Coach of your little league team, your boss, your coworker, the person at Walmart that wasn't dressed as good as you thought they should have been, and you're bringing that talk back into your home, and you're spending the dinner table with unwholesome talk, and you're slamming somebody, and you're talking about your boss, and you're talking about the coworker, and you're talking about stinking this and stinking that, and you're cutting down, and you're belittling different things with your voice. God said, if you want to create an environment where your children can grow, you're in the scenario that you're in. You're raising your grandchildren. You're raising as a single mom. You're raising as a single dad. You are fortunate enough to be in a nuclear family. But that doesn't mean your environment is good. Because you can live with your mom and dad and still have unwholesome talk coming into the house. You know what you're doing? We're taking our kids and making them smell like rotten fish. God says you need to curb the talk in your house. You're adding stink to your family scenario. Men, the way you speak to your wives will teach your children how to speak to their wife or expect to be spoken to by their husband. Are you with me this morning? I'll save the rest of that conversation for Men's Link when it's just me and you, men. Your girls will think it's normal to receive abusive talk because you're abusing your wife with your mouth. Wives, your sons will think that that's what it means to be a mom, to be a wife. Be careful of the language that comes out of your mouth. Be careful of that unwholesome talk. Be careful of that stinking language. Our kids hear and begin to form stinky opinions and attitudes and actions. I heard someone say this week when the neighbor kid was saying something, and I heard him say, "Where did you hear that?" And I just heard his grandfather say it. Whatever your family scenario is, will you make a covenant with each other that the unwholesome talk in your home needs to go? Let me say that again. Whatever your family scenario is, will you get together in a ride on the way home from this service? Or will you sit down at the dinner table? Or will you sit down at the supper table? And will you say, "Listen, we're going to make a covenant with one another right here at this table. Everybody put their hands in the middle. The unwholesome talk in this house has got to go." I don't know what the rest of this world is doing. I don't know what the kids are doing. I don't know what the neighbors are doing. I don't know what the other people in that parking lot were doing. But as for me and my house, we're going to make a covenant right here that the unwholesome talk, the abusive language, the bitter attitude needs to go. And we're going to make that promise to one another. And we're going to strive. We're going to strive forward. And we're going to say, "No, it's not happening here. I experienced that as a kid. And I will not bring that back into my house." And you may have to work at it. And you may have to strive for it. And you may have to climb uphill. But will you make the covenant with each other that no unwholesome talk will be in this house? Verse 29, continuing. "Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others, up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." We want to receive construction, constructive language, constructive talk. We want to come alongside of each other. We want to speak life into each other. He says, "It's not good enough just to remain quiet." My grandmother used to tell me, "If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all." And I learned in the Bible that's not the way the Bible speaks. If you can't say anything nice, let God do something in your heart so you can. Because your family, the words that you have been spoken, you can still remember hurtful words. And you can still remember some of those things that were spoken into your life. Can you remember the time when you were told that you were smart? Can you remember the time when you were told you mattered to mom or you mattered to dad? Are you telling your children, "You matter to me. You're awesome. You're an amazing son. You're an amazing daughter. Yeah, I am so fortunate to be your dad. I am so fortunate to be your mom. Come alongside. Help dad be a better dad." How many times have we spoken health and nourishment into our children's lives? It says if you want to grow a healthy family, you need to have unwholesome talk needs to leave. And the talk for the language that builds up one another. Whatever your family scenario is, will you make a covenant with each other that words that build up will and lift up will be in the norm in that house? Will you make that same covenant? I'm asking you to make a four-layer covenant with your family or even as you start a family. That will we make a covenant? Not only will the unwholesome, stinking words go out of here. No more. We're not talking about the neighbor. We're not talking about the Walmart employee. We're not talking about the baseball coach. We're not talking about the boss or about the employees. We're not tearing people down. We're not speaking like that to each other. Bigger brothers, you're not dissing your little sister anymore. It's not going to happen. But we're also going to make a covenant that we will speak life with our tongues. That we will speak this construction, constructive language, and this covenant with one another. That we will speak building and lifting up words to one another. Verse 30 goes on to say this. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit with which you were sealed for the day of redemption." The actions in this family will honor God. I don't even know all what that means maybe in your life. You don't all know what that means yet. But you're going to make a covenant with one another that the things that happen inside of this family unit, inside of this family scenario, are going to honor God from now on. Well, Grandpa or Dad or Mom, you said this and you said that the other day. You're right. And I confess that before God right now. Will you forgive me? Yes. Will you forgive me, God? Yes. Just because I did say it doesn't mean I can't make a covenant not to say it anymore. Because I am going to honor God with my language. I'm going to honor God with my action, because I am in a family scenario and my kids are part of that 74 million children. And I'm going to water them, and I'm going to nourish them, and I'm going to give them everything that they got, because this world doesn't care about your family. As a matter of fact, we're supporting more of a movement to tear apart your family than to build it up. So let me come over here and just say, man, this world's screwed up. Our actions will honor God. Joshua said this thousands of years ago. Probably 3,200 years ago, Joshua said this. But if serving the Yahweh seems undesirable to you, okay, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we're going to honor God. That's the statement that this family is going to make, a covenant together. As for me and our house, Tammy, Amy, Rebecca, Mom, Dad, as for the five of us, we're going to serve God. We're going to honor God in our family. We're going to give you the best chance to be raised in the best environment and the best scene, producing the best results. We can run down through Exodus 20, and I can just let that with you this morning. Exodus 20, you should have no other gods before me. You know what? I'm getting sick and tired of hearing how many times they've taken the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse when you got nobody taking them out of your house, but they ain't in your house either. I would expect the leaders of this world, the lost leaders, the upside down, backwards leaders, the leaders that aren't seeking God in this world, to take out things that don't belong to, that belong to God. But just so you know, I don't expect anyone in this body right here, right now, to take the things out of their life that belong to God. And when we do take those things out of our house, we can expect that our kids will not be raised at the greatest possibility that they are. Unwholesome talk, you need to go. Constructive talk, building up talk, talk that lets you people know how much you care about it. It needs to come. And as far as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Whatever your family scenario it is, you will make a covenant with each other that we will seek to honor God together. Verse 31. Here's the environment. Listen, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Get rid of it. It has no place in your home. And some of you have been raised around those things, and you know exactly what they do to you. Some of you have been raised around unwholesome talk, and it's brand new for you. You don't know how to do this. We need to lean into God and make a covenant with God and our family that this is going to be the way it is. And we're going to get rid of bitterness. We're going to get, you know what bitterness means? Unmerciful, cruel, and vindictive behavior. We need to get rid of that unmerciful and cruel and vindictive behavior. We need to get rid of rage, outburst of anger. Do you know your outburst of anger? You know, I coached kids in softball for a while, and you know what? Their parents would come up to the fence, and their parents just needed a, I wish I'd had a fire hose. I'm just going to blast those parents away from the fire, away from the fence. If you want to yell at me, that's one thing. I can take your yelling. I'm big enough to take your yelling. But when you're belittling your 8-year-old daughter on the field, you need a fire hose. And then you need the strap. And then you need timeout. And then you need a switch. Get rid of outbursts of anger. Because you're scaring the people around you. Outbursts of anger scares people. Oh yeah, you might come in, you might throw things around the house, and you might scream, and you might holler, and you might get your way, but you're pushing your child into the floor. The Bible says you need to lose that. Well, I experienced it as a kid. I know that. That's why you need to lose it. Said you need to get rid of bitterness and rage and anger. An unresolved irritation is what that anger means. It's like burying an irritation, and it's creating this minefield in the living room. Your kids don't even know where to walk. You know, they don't even know where it's safe. You've got to have a safe environment. This world is not safe for your children. You can put all the helmets and all the knee pads that you want, all the mouth guards you want, and all the sunscreen you want, SPF 900 if you want to. It's not going to protect them against unresolved anger and these minefields that's in your family. And the brawling or just the shouting, the screaming. I know being raised in a family where a mother would scream and scream and scream and scream. And how sometimes that took a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old and pushed him down and pushed him down. And now he's 55 years old. He's 250 pounds, but he still feels the effects of that 5-year-old. We need to get rid of the brawling and the slander, the words spoken with an intent to hurt somebody, spoken about them or spoken to them. And he says you need to get rid of the malice, the meanness, the nastiness, the hurtfulness. And I know the statement, we can laugh about it. Mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Shame on us. Moms, you don't know the power you have. Whatever your family scenario is, will you make a covenant with each other that these wrecking ball actions and attitudes will be exterminated? We will work at that as a family. We will get rid of unresolved bitterness and rage and anger, and we will have open communication, and we will be able to talk to one another, and we will be able to have an environment that's rich in constructive words. Let's end with this. Verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as Christ forgave you. Just so you know, I've done a lot of counseling in my life and some coaching in my life as well. I've never had someone come into my office and start out with saying, my mom and my dad were too kind, too compassionate, too forgiving. This kindness is well-mannered and helpful to each other. I see it in some of your children. I see it in some of your children, or your older children are caring for your younger children. Your older son is caring for their sister. That is so powerful and so strange. Can it be the norm, no matter what our family scenario is? Single mom, single dad, grandparent, nuclear family. Can it be the norm where kids are caring for their kids around them? And they're caring for mom and dad. They're not self-centered. And neither is mom and dad. And compassion. There needs to be compassion, easily moved to sympathize with another's stress. And forgiveness, release from the punishment from wrongdoing. Because I understand that not every scenario is going to be the best scene at every day. We're going to need to forgive one another. There's got to be forgiveness in our families. Because you're not going to get it all right, and neither am I. But we have to be bent on forgiveness and compassion and kindness. Whatever your family scenario is, will you make a covenant with each other today that kindness and compassion and forgiveness will saturate this home? But we will write them on the door frames of our home. There's 74 million children that this world is working to dismantle them piece by piece by piece by piece. We need to rise up, New Life. We need to grow our families. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up each other according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, from whom you were sealed to the day of for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness and rage and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. You have the power. I pray every day that God will take a fire hose to the movement that's going through this country. And in the same breath, I pray every day that the families in this parking lot today will grow their families in the best way possible. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32, four verses out of 31,104 in the whole Bible, four verses will alter your family scene, no matter what your scenario is. Father God, thank you for these moments together. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy that you pour out onto us. Thank you for these four verses written 2,000 years ago to a church in Ephesus, to a church that wanted to live the life that God had for them and wanted to raise their families in a God-honoring and in God-empowering way. And in 2020, July 19th, the same truth is relevant for today. God, help us. Help us, no matter what our scenario is. Help our scenes be different. Father, thank you for loving us. And Father, just honestly, publicly, I speak it out. Take a water hose to the movement. And bring the Miracle-Gro to the households here. Father, thank you for the gift of families. Father, I'm going to say it again. Blessings on the grandparent parents that are in this parking lot today. A blessing on the single dads that are navigating life. A blessing on the single moms that are navigating life in a very challenging environment. And hold together the nuclear family. Let nothing tear them apart. Father, I thank you. We're going to leave here today I pray that we make a covenant with each other on this day, that our families will be Ephesians 4, 29 through 32 families. Father, thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.